All right. Hey, I'm nervous right now, so I'm going to ask you guys to do an oath to keep this first part a secret. So if you will raise your right hand, if you have a Bible, you can put your left hand on the Bible. I do solemnly swear that I will not tell anyone about this opening story. Okay. So I'm trying to protect people here, and I hope I do an okay job. But what's that? It's streaming. Everybody online, they took the promise. They signed the waiver. It's part of the contract. So one time Jenny and I were in this conversation with some people who were close to us, and they were older. And somehow, I don't even know how this happened, but somehow the topic came up of sex. Right? Most people do not feel comfortable talking about sex, and for good reason, right? It's an area we need to be careful about. That's why we had the kids go out to. I don't even remember how this happened, but these people definitely fall into the category of older people not comfortable talking about sex. And somehow, again, these people are really close to me. I said, well, it was an older couple. Well, you two don't have sex anymore, do you? And then the lady said, I'm not dead yet, of course. I'm not dead yet. So, everybody, I got some good news this morning. We're not dead yet. Is that good? Yeah, let's hear about that. We are not dead yet. Now, so today, I hope you're encouraged. I hope today will be a real positive day full of life. But even though we're celebrate, we're not dead yet, even though all of us have a pulse this morning and all of us are breathing, some of us feel pretty dead on the inside. Some of us maybe came here discouraged. Maybe some of us came here just really tired. Some of us maybe we're dealing with some really difficult things. There are people in this room who are just dealing with some difficult stuff. And maybe if they didn't treat you nice or whatever, it's not because of anything you did, but it's just we don't know what each other is going through. You're surrounded by people who are limping and struggling and going through difficult things. So one of the things, even as we celebrate life and we celebrate not being dead yet, being alive, one of the things that we want to also say is today, if you're not okay, that's okay. It's okay to not be okay. We come as we are. We know we're alive, and as long as we're alive and breathing, there's always hope. But if you're not okay today, that's fine. There's no need to put on a fake smile or fake energy. We're all going through different. Some of us today are up. The camp challenge people brought me up. I like that. I like the energy. Some of us are down. And those of us who are up, there's going to be a time when we're down too. So we've come to this place at various stages in our spiritual and emotional, mental, relational lives, but we're all for each other. So today, we're going to look at this story that's full of defeat, it's full of despair, and it's full of hope. So if that intrigues you, listen on. We're going to be talking about a guy named Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel was a Hebrew prophet who lived during a very dark time in the history of his people. Israel had divided into two kingdoms, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, and they were never able to resolve that division. They stayed separated until the northern kingdom was carried off into exile to a place called Assyria, and the northern kingdom was never to return again. Ezekiel lived during a time where they'd already seen the death of the northern kingdom, and his fellow Jews from the northern kingdom were spread out all over the place. And now his southern kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, was under threat by Babylon. It got so bad that Ezekiel was one of the ones, and his wife, they were carried off into exile, and they lived in Babylon too, and they didn't know if they were ever going to resume as a nation again. Spoiler alert, that kingdom was dead. It never did come back to life quite like it was. But during this very difficult time, Ezekiel wrote these words, these strange words from a famous chapter in Ezekiel 37. This is what Ezekiel writes. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones in the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Back in ancient times, a lot of times conquering armies, they would slaughter whole civilization, whole countries, and they would just leave there. They would scavenger all the valuables, and they would just leave the bones there, not even giving proper burials. It was sort of a message of their power, and it was also when people went to these places and saw these just valleys of dry bones, it was a bleak, it was a defeated people a lot of time who'd even been completely wiped off the face of the earth. Their civilization was done, is what that usually symbolized, a valley of dry bones. They're dry, so this isn't recent either. This had been happened a long time ago. This civilization had a past, but not a future. It was over. One of the coolest places I've ever been to was Rome. My grandparents took Jenny and I there, and it was just an incredible trip. And we had a good friend of ours who had already been to Rome, and he recommended this one place called the Capuchin Crypt. Another word for this is Church of the Bones or House of the Bones. And what the Capuchin Crypt is this place where there's the remains of 3,700 friars, just their bones, and the whole church or building is decorated in bones. There's a chandelier. If you can see the picture or not, you can see all that decoration. It's grainy, but it's all bones. It's the skeletal remains of these people. And maybe fortunately for us, because I wasn't sure that I really wanted to see this place. It sounded a little creepy to me, a little eerie. But we were going to go, and it was closed that day. But there's one thing that I remember really clearly from the Capuchin Crypt, and it was this sign. And the sign was written in several languages. The sign is up on this slide, but it says this in English: "What you are now, we used to be. What we are now, you will be." Now again, that may be a little eerie, but it's some good truth for us to hear. It's pretty indisputable. I'll say that again. What you are now, we used to be. What we are now, you will be. It's a good reminder that life on earth is finite. We have a number of days, a fixed number of days. Again, this valley of dry bones was a very bleak place. It was an interesting place for the Spirit of the Lord to take Ezekiel, who was probably having some problems of his own being encouraged. I mean, not only was he far from home and didn't know if he'd ever return, not only, like, there were just so many things going on spiritually. The people of Israel were supposed to be the light to the nations, and here they were defeated. It made their God look weak again. There were so many questions about the future, so much that hadn't happened, a long-awaited Messiah, nowhere to be seen. What's going to happen? How come it looks like all these other gods are stronger than their God? What's going on here? And so the Spirit of the Lord takes Ezekiel to a place where all hope had been lost. These people had been decimated, long forgotten. Let's go back to Ezekiel 37:3. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" It's kind of an easy question, isn't it? Can they live? Let's try some other questions. If you cut an earthworm in half, can it still live? Yeah, right? If a dandelion dies and it's like that pretty white flower with all those seeds and you blow it, can the dandelions live again? Yeah. When a heart stops beating, can a person be resuscitated? Yes. It might have even happened to somebody in this room, or maybe you know someone whose heart stopped beating and they were resuscitated. But when flesh rots, when a person's been gone for a long time and flesh rots, can that person come back to life? No, right? We know that. The early Christians, the people who believed in Jesus' resurrection, they knew that too. They knew that when people were dead, they were gone. They did not come back. But Ezekiel, listen to Ezekiel's answer to this question. Can the dry bones live? It almost seems obvious. No. But Ezekiel says something interesting. I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. You alone know. Like for us, no. Once bones are dry, we know in the Capuchin crypt, those bones, they're not going to come back to life. They're not coming off the walls. The chandelier's not coming down and talking to us, right? We know those kind of things. But Ezekiel says, you alone know. It's almost like the Spirit of the Lord is being like an annoying teacher with a trick question or an annoying pastor who's trying to trick people into wrong answers, you know. But he just puts it back to the Lord. You alone know. Let's move on in Ezekiel 37, 4 through 6. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign, I love that word, the sovereign Lord, the God who rules over, the God who is powerful, the sovereign Lord says to these bones, I will make breath enter you, and you will come up and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Fascinating words. What is something that all life has in common? All of us. What's something that we have in common? Blood. We all bleed. Yeah, we all have blood. Breath. And that's true whether we're humans or animals or even plants. Plants that are alive, they breathe, right? When a plant dies, it can't breathe anymore. When a person, when a human, when an animal dies, it can't breathe. Breath is powerful. There's something about the breath of life that is life. The Apostle Paul, when he was talking about the scriptures, he called all the scriptures God breathed. And in, I think it's in Hebrews where it says that the scriptures are alive and active. There's breath, there's life. Human life started with a breath, right? In Genesis, it says the story of the creation of humanity. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. When God breathes, things come to life. When the breath of God breathes, things come to life. Now, the Latin word for inspire means to breathe into. So people who are inspired by an idea, an action, there's been some life that has been breathed into them. Let's turn now to Ezekiel 37:10. In Ezekiel 37:10, says this, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. This defeated people with no hope, dry, became a vast army. Nobody expected anything like this. A defeated people becoming an exceedingly great army. And that's a lot of what the gospel is. The gospel that Jesus died for our sins and he was buried. And when you're buried, it's over, right? It's over. The Fat Lady song, it's over. But then he rose from the dead and he was seen. And that was passed on to people who passed it on to people who passed it on to people who passed it on to us. It started, that message started with Mary Magdalene. And then it was passed on to so many people. Disciples and others who passed that message on to us that Jesus was alive, that what seemed to be the worst defeat, that seemed to be the end of the Messiah, that seemed to be the end of Jesus, was not. It was the beginning of Christ, the beginning of the church. Now turn to John chapter 20. Jesus had died. This is what it says. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. The faith that we have is not in a teaching. It's not in just an idea. It's in something that happened. It's in the resurrection of Jesus that was observed, that people witnessed and were willing to die to pass that message down. That the belief that Jesus came back from the dead. Our faith is in the resurrection of Jesus. And that if he resurrected, we will too. That there's hope. There's a confident hope that we can have. We have a reason for the hope that we have in life after death. Eternal life, abundant life. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in the resurrection. Again, not just in a book that's called the Bible or not just in ideas. It's in Christ and something that happened. Let's look at what Jesus did when he came back. It says next in John 20, 21 through 22. Jesus said, keep in mind, these are people who were afraid. They were hiding behind locked doors because they were afraid. They thought it was over. They were discouraged. They were mourning. They were confused. But Jesus appears to them and says, "Peace be with you." Do you know why Jesus said, "Peace be with you"? Because they weren't feeling it. They were afraid. They needed to hear these words. They needed that reassurance. They needed peace, just like we do. They were people like us. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When God created man, he breathed the breath of life into Adam. When Jesus came back from the dead, he gave his disciples peace, and then he breathed on them the breath of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what brings people to life. It brings bodies to life, but it brings spirits to life too. Wherever we are, we can hear that. So, no matter where you are this morning, again, you may be one of those who has a pulse but feels dead on the inside, may be discouraged, may feel a lot of despair. But no matter where we are, we have hope that God can breathe the breath of life into us. We have hope that he can do this. We have that faith that Jesus said that he'll give the Holy Spirit to whoever asks. That is an answer that God wants to, that's a prayer God wants to answer if we ask for the Holy Spirit to breathe into us the breath of life. So, I just want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. It's an invitation for the breath of life, the breath of God, the Holy Spirit to be breathing into us. God, breathe your breath of life in me. I want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that I may live in a way that is abundant and eternal. May the peace of Christ be with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Life can be hard. Trouble is one of the promises we have. There are going to be times when maybe we even feel despair or tempted to give up. Life can be so difficult. And sometimes it's not even our own lives that we're worried about. We're worried about others. Maybe we've seen other people walk away. Maybe we've seen other people that we love that are struggling or in a terrible situation. Maybe we just feel like there's some other people that their hearts have grown so hard and they seem so far from being reached. They seem so lost. But yet there's always hope. As long as there's breath, there's hope. As long as there's prayer, there's hope. As long as Jesus came back from the dead, there's hope for us. So we're going to close with these words from Ezekiel 37. "Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are the source of life and we honor your name. Jesus said that he came so that we could have abundant life. Sometimes life is difficult and hope seems scarce. Along with Ezekiel, we pray, O breath of God, breathe on these slain that we may live. Where there is fear, discouragement, disillusionment, breathe on us. And out of the ashes and dry bones, let us see an exceedingly great army of hope arise. Where there are people that feel lost, may they be found. Where there are prodigals wandering away, let them find the way back to life. Breathe on us and use us to breathe life into others. In Jesus' name we pray.